I'm Megan Bartels, a senior news reporter at Scientific American. When I approach each assignment, I always consider what you, our readers, want to know. From covering evolutionary marvels to reporting on infectious diseases and space oddities, my job is to delve into topics that pique my interest, reach out to experts for insights, absorb that knowledge, and then thoughtfully pass it on to you. It's a process of exploration for both of us. If it sparks my curiosity, then I hope it sparks yours too. Join me on this journey of discovery. Subscribe to Scientific American today, and let's explore the wonders of our world together.
Those are the haunting melodies of baleen whales reverberating through the ocean waves. Many people across the globe are familiar with the 1970 album Songs of the Humpback Whale, produced by biologist Roger Payne. While I was just a little bit too young to have caught its release, I remember seeing the CD for sale at Walmart alongside other calming tracks for meditation. You could press a button to get a preview of each album, and all of a sudden, as you stood on the concrete floors in front of a display of posters, the eerie songs of the humpback would fill your ears. Now, scientists believe they have discovered how humpbacks and other baleen whales produce these unique sounds. Their findings, published online last month, may also explain why noise pollution from ships hinders the whale's ability to communicate. Hi, I'm Devin Farmelo, and you're listening to Science Quickly. Even after Songs of the Humpback Whale popularized whale songs and increased public awareness of the animal's decline, they remained an enigma.
But we know very little of them. And one of the reasons is because if they beach or strand on beaches, then it's really hard to get there on time. The tissues they have decompose incredibly fast. And whales, as you know, might know, they also have been known to explode on the beach. So you have to get there really fast in order to study physiology.
That's Cohen Elements, a professor of bioacoustics at the University of Southern Denmark. He is particularly interested in how animals make sounds and how their brains control it. Since it is difficult to study whale physiology, it took Cohen and his colleagues a while to find suitable specimens. When they got access to three stranded baleen whales, including two located close to their lab in Denmark, it led them to a breakthrough. First, a six-month-old sei whale died in a nearby fjord in 2018, likely because of emaciation. Then, almost a year later, a juvenile female humpback got tangled in a fishing net and drowned at the northern tip of the country.
Now, we were lucky in that sense that two animals stranded very close to the lab here in a harbor where we could have very quick access. So I think one of the big breakthroughs was that we actually could get fresh tissue. And then we could actually study their physiology in a way that has not been done before.
With this new opportunity to examine baleen whale physiology, Cohen and his colleagues were able to solve the more than 50-year mystery of the creature's melodies. The human voice box, or larynx, makes sound when air passes over our vocal folds. The larynx of baleen whales, however, needs to accommodate for living underwater. The roughly half-meter-long voice box creates sound when a fatty wedge-shaped cushion vibrates and presses on the larynx while air passes through. In the lab, Cohen and his colleagues attached the preserved voice boxes of the dead whales to a series of pipes, blowing air into the larynxes to make them sing. While the songs weren't as beautiful as those heard in the sea, the scientists were able to replicate the sounds of these enigmatic creatures. Cohen and his colleagues also created digital models to help them fully understand the impact of muscle movements on whale vocalizations, including how they affect frequency.
And now we figured out that their voice box actually still can make sound, but it does so in a very unique way. It doesn't have vocal folds like we have, but it has a new structure that's sort of a cushion with muscle in it. And when they press a rigid structure, like a hard structure against that and blow air past it, they can still make sound on the water.
This unique way of producing sound hasn't been observed in any other animal species. It was a necessary evolutionary change that happened over the course of tens of millions of years, sometime after whales' ancestors returned to the sea following a stint as terrestrial animals. Their voice box adapted to this new environment and gave them a way to communicate underwater, until humans came along and started making a ruckus.
But that system also actually limits what kind of frequencies they can make and also where they can make it. So we can rather convincingly show now that they can only make this from the surface to about 100 meters deep, because then they simply run out of air.
Typically, baleen whales sing to one another under the ocean surface to communicate about swimming destinations, potential dangers, food locations, and other important information. Boats, however, can disrupt this chatter.
So that frequency band and also the depth of vocalizations where these animals make their vocalizations sadly perfectly overlaps where we make a lot of boating noise. So one of the consequences is that these animals have a really cool way to make sound, but they cannot voluntarily say like, oh, today I'm going to sing a bit higher, because they're just physiologically constrained and they can also not sing deeper. So they are stuck in this frequency band and depth band where we make most noise.
Have you ever tried to have a conversation next to rushing traffic? Noise can disrupt human communication too, but we have many other ways of giving and receiving information, such as sight. Whales do not have that luxury.
They use sound for almost all their communication because underwater you cannot see anything. They use sound to find each other, to coordinate movement and migration, so it's really important for them.
Decades after whale songs first played on record players across the world, inspiring a new wave of conservation, the hidden anatomy behind these melodies has been brought to the surface. Whale songs are now ubiquitous. They can be played in your living room, your car, even in an aisle of a Midwestern Walmart. But whales do not live on the land anymore. They live in an increasingly noisy ocean, one that is drowning out their songs. For Science Quickly, this is Devin Farmelo. Science Quickly is produced by Jeff DelVisio, Rachel Feltman, and Kelso Harper, and edited by Timmy Broderick, Ella Fetter, and Alexa Lim. Music is by Dominic Smith. Don't forget to subscribe to Science Quickly wherever you get your podcasts. For more in-depth science news and features, go to scientificamerican.com. And if you like the show, give us a rating or review.